Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. All right, well, here we are again, and continuing on in the series that we've been in now for a few weeks, 40 days in the Word. These 40 days we're taking to just get into the Bible, and if you haven't done already, it's never too late to join up with this thing. Go to our website, shanghaifellowship.org, get access to the videos, the teaching by Rick Warren, the soft copy of the workshop, and learn some Bible study methods that will help you and will serve you well as you keep serving Jesus and living your life following him. So that's the series we're in. And today we're going to take a closer look at what it means to experience the Bible. So moving beyond just reading it or listening to it for that matter. And what I mean, and hopefully it'll be more clear as we go along, is that of course the Bible is a book, and there's pages and letters on those pages and multiple translations, original languages, right? All of that. But it is a living document. It's a living word. And it is unique and unlike any other book that the world has ever seen. It really is that different. And one reason, if maybe this is the reason, is because the Bible is God's breathed word to us. God putting down in writing, if you will, what he wanted to say to us. And he did that over hundreds of years through different writers, and then closed that off in what's called a canon, which is another talk for another day. But he closed that off so that we would have those words of God breathed to us through the men that he would choose over those centuries to write to us. Now, that's pretty cool by itself. But what makes it so unique and more like an experience, unlike any other experience you've ever had reading a book, is that the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, who breathed on those individuals to write his word to us, is the same Spirit that breathes on us today as we read and interact with his word. So that when I'm reading the Bible, when you're reading the Bible or listening to the Bible, engaging with the Bible, it is a living experience at that moment. We're not just looking at history. We're not just looking at ancient Mediterranean poetry. We're looking at those things, but we're doing more than that. We are having an experience with God the Spirit, who breathed on those writers and now is breathing on you and me to experience the heart and the intent of his word today in my life, in where I live at this moment. And you could say in my generation, in your generation. So that's really at the heart of it, what makes it such a unique book and such a unique experience. Engaging with the Bible is a unique experience. And it means that when we come to engage with the Bible, read it, listen to it, watch it, another way to do it, is that we often will come with expectations. Now, I get it. You know, there are plenty of people over the years that engaged with the Bible and read a Bible, but had no experiences or no expectations of an experience. You go into a hotel room, almost anywhere in the world, you know, next to the bed is a little nightstand. You pull the drawer open, and there's a Bible provided for you by an organization called the Gideons. Somebody might have picked that Bible up and started reading it with really no expectations. Got bored that night, didn't have anything else to do, so they just started reading the book that was there next to their bed. But so often, especially as Christians, we come to the Bible with expectations. We read it expecting something. We expect an experience. And that's right that we would, because that's exactly what the Bible says we should do. We should expect an experience. Let's take a look at a couple of different places where the Bible describes that. Let's look at something from 1 Corinthians, the first letter in the New Testament to the church in Corinth, written by Paul. And he writes there, chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. Now he's referring to something going to happen hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this writing. It's called the Exodus. You can read about it in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And he's referring to it, describing how those people then came out of 400 years of slavery and into their own freedom. Much longer story here, but they passed through a cloud quite literally, and they passed through a sea quite literally. And so he's just saying, you know, remember all of our ancestors did that, all right? We share that in common with them. They were all baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. So he compares their experience then coming out of those 400 years of slavery as a people group and coming through the cloud and coming coming through the sea as like a baptism experience. They all ate the same spiritual food and they all drank the same spiritual drink, where they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. And just acknowledging that the incarnate eternal Jesus Christ was present for them as he's present for us today. Number five, verse number five. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Idolatry, disobedience, lack of trust, just refusal to honor the covenant that they'd made together. And their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, last verse number six for today. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. In other words, you see the same thing picked up in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, that these things are written down for us to be an example to us, so that when we engage with the Bible and we experience the Bible, we're also experiencing the warnings of the Bible, stories and things that are told to us, so that we can engage. And in that engaging and experiencing the Bible, we are, among many things, we learn what it means to be warned and what we should be warned away from. So there you go. Another passage like this is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John wrote, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these signs, these things that he wrote down, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In other words, John is saying that when you engage with this book, it's written with the intent so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. It's purposeful. It's intentional. It's not just like a book of any kind. It's not just even a book of engage with it, take away what you want to take away. It really doesn't matter. Make up your own, whatever. Engage with the Bible. Engage with the book of God so that you might believe. It's written so that you might experience belief in Jesus, the Messiah, for yourself. And lastly, there are more than three, but I just picked these three. I think they're significant. Back to Paul, this time to writing to the church in Rome, chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. And then verse number 4, that's the one we're highlighting. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, in the Bible, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Again, the intentionality of behind the experience that God wanted us and still wants us to have when we read his book. There are expectations, and there's intentionality, and there's an experience that's coming with the living God by his Spirit. And here it is, so that we will endure, so that we will have hope. And that's why we read the book. That's what we expect when we read and engage with the book of the Bible. And that's what we experience. God is still giving hope and still giving strength to endure in and through his holy book, the Bible. And that's what we expect when we come to engage with it. The Bible is there to lead us into an experience with God. the God who has revealed himself in the Bible, as we said, and most fully and completely revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And you and I have access to all of this information and all of this understanding and knowledge and wisdom by picking up the book called the Bible and engaging with it by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we read the Bible not just to read a story about someone who trusted God with their future, but we read the Bible so that we will trust God with our future. All right, so what that means is when I read in Proverbs 3, verses 4, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's not just those aren't just words that look really nice on a WeChat meme or graphic. Those aren't words to put up, on a beautiful plaque that hangs in the hallway of our office. Those are words that describe life as we know it, or at least as we can know it. I'm not reading these words off of the app on my phone. I'm living these words, trusting God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, and not leaning on my own understanding. But in all my ways, I'm acknowledging him that he will direct my path. So the other day, I was praying, and I was praying and realizing that I've been praying a lot lately about the uncertain future, my uncertain future, our uncertain future. As we all know, and this is, I'm talking to the Shanghai Community Fellowship community, here in Shanghai, primarily. I know there are people from all over the world listening, but right now, today, May 8th, 2022, there is a lot of uncertainty in our lives for those of us who are living here. The fact is, there's always been a lot of uncertainty about the future because we don't know the future. I realized that for so many years over the years that I probably just thought and assumed that I could be certain about the future. What's going to happen 6 months from now? Well, I'm sure it'll look like this. I think this is going to happen. Then I'm going to travel here, and I've already booked a ticket, and da da blah, and on and on and on. I felt so certain about the future. What makes this time so unusual is that I feel so uncertain about the future, which was probably always the case, but now it's so real to me. So when I kneel down to pray, and I'm praying, I'm not just quoting a verse, I'm actually living out that verse, right? I think you see what I mean. And that's what occurred to me. That's a word from the Bible that I'm familiar with. The difference is that right now I am doing that. I am trusting him with my uncertain future, in all my ways, acknowledging him, not leaning on my own understanding, because quite frankly, right now, my own understanding isn't really serving me very well. There's just a lot that we don't know. I think about all the times my prayers begin with, I don't know. I don't know. Oh God, I don't know. Lord, concerning tomorrow, I don't know. Concerning the future, well, I really don't know. So this trust is a description of my engagement with the Bible. I read the words, now I'm actually living it out by the power of the same Spirit. And by the way, I also realized that, truth be told, I don't really want to trust. What I want is answers. But here I'm being called and reminded the calling to trust is coming forth out of his word to me, as it does for each and every one of us. We read the Bible with the expectation that we are going to experience what we read there. The thing is, of course, is we can read, there are a lot of things in the Bible, right? I mean, it's a lot of stuff in the Bible. So how about the verse in Leviticus 19 that says that we should not mix our linens, not mix our fabrics, you know, polyester with cotton. What do I do with that? Or how about the part of the Bible that tells us that Samson fought against the nations oppressing his nation with the jawbone of a donkey? How do I live that one out? Or maybe a little closer to home, how about Jesus telling his disciples to go into Jerusalem, and there you will meet a certain man, and sing to him, the master has need of your house and he will show you the way. Should I go to Jerusalem? Should I look for a certain man? Is Jesus coming to meet me at someone's house? How do I live that one out? Or maybe a little easier. How about when Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples and said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I know one particular group of Christians, they wash each other's feet every week. It's just a part of their celebration. When they come together for community to worship, they wash each other's feet every week because they think and believe that this would be a way to honor and have the same experience that Jesus is talking about here. How does their experience become my experience? Without completely just mimicking it like a first century Jewish person, or just really ignoring the cultural context that it all happened in, what they did there and then, how does it become a reality and an experience for me here and now? How do the stories, the poetry, how do the stories and the poetry and the laws and the history that I read about in the Bible shape my experience with God today? How would I make an analogy from then to now? How would I make a legit comparison from then to now and back again? These questions are what we're going to take on the very last Sunday in this series, which is the last Sunday of May, by the way. And so if you're saying, yeah, great, hey, great questions, Pastor Joe, how do you do that? All right, hang on. Last Sunday in May, that's where we're going. This is what we're going to talk about then. Today, we are looking at a critical component to reading and experiencing the Bible. And that critical component is God himself. Because the same God who breathed on those writers and these words and is breathing on us today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. By the way, that's also in the Bible. He never changes and he is faithful. So the streams that are coming from the heart of the Father never change. The streams that come from the heart and the mind of God never change. And they are revealed to us by the Spirit, Romans chapter 8. And so when we come to look into his word, we expect to meet the heart of God in his word as it was then, so it is today, and so it ever shall be. Amen. Now, one of the fun things about this kind of talk where you see it kind of happening all at once is in the book of Acts, first few chapters of the book of Acts, because in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you get to read in the Bible about people who are engaging with the Bible. If all I'm saying, so as a 21st century person, I am reading in the Bible about some Jesus people like me who are also engaging with God in the Bible, this particular case in the book of Joel. So let's begin at the beginning. So you get Jesus saying to his disciples, to this group of people, saying to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's what he told them. That's what they should expect. This is what's going to happen. Wait in Jerusalem, and you are going to have an experience with God the Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. He's going to empower you to be my witnesses and to carry on what you have seen me begin and do. So Peter, shortly after that, after this empowering experience with the Spirit, Peter stands up and says to a whole group of people, crowds of people who watched this whole empowerment thing happen right in front of them, he says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So now Peter, a man in the Bible, is going to engage with the Bible. We're going to watch the whole thing happen right in front of us. All right. So he says, hey, the prophet Joel was inspired by God, and he wrote these words down that God wanted him to write down for our benefit. And what you're experiencing now, first century Peter, is what God wanted us to experience when he spoke to Joel all those years ago. He said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. There's the Bible engaging with the Bible, saying that these words will be experienced in this generation and in generations to come, like for you and me, particularly. Peter then would say a short time later to the same group, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Can you see how it just keeps flowing? The Bible is revealing God's heart, and they're reading the Bible, and they're hearing and knowing the heart of God so that they can also experience what God has revealed in the Word. And Peter even sets it up for us to say, what we've experienced through the Word of God has become the Word of God to you today. This promise is for you and for your children and your children's children. Keep on experiencing and engaging with the Word of God, his inspired word. They understood that they themselves would be a part of God's continuing biblical story. And this is the incredible thing, what we're saying today, that you and I can see ourselves as Jesus' people continuing the story that God has been telling from Bible days, even now. We're still a part of this continuing story. They looked at the past to understand and shape their expectations for what life is like and could be like for us today. So knowing God and seeing ourselves and seeing him as he is, continuing the story, here is how we can be engaging with his word and shaped by his word. We know the heart of God because God has revealed himself in his word. And knowing this, that we are still connecting to the streams that flow from the heart of the Father who never changes, we can still count on these things to be true and sure for us today. When we, number one, read the Bible missionally. The word's going to pop up on the screen there so you can see mission. What did he say? Missionally, like mission, and make it a verb. When we read the Bible missionally, in other words, when we look at that story from the book of Acts, chapter 1, 2, 3, right in there, that part, we understand that they understood that the Bible, God's word to them, was that they were being empowered to be his witnesses, that they were being empowered by the Spirit to bear witness to the truth of God and to the character and person of the Father, his heart, and the Son, Jesus Christ, who reveals most completely the heart of the Father. What is happening is what was promised in the Word, and we pick up that promise that we will also be empowered to be his witnesses, to be salt and light. And light, you know, it actually does make a difference what we expect when we come to read the Bible. If we come to the Bible because we have experienced miracles ourselves, then we can see the miracles of the Bible differently. If we've experienced a miracle, then when we read in the Bible about miracles, we experience those stories differently. A person who has been filled with the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit will read the stories of people who've been empowered by the Spirit to be salt and light differently. It's what we expect. Jesus said in Luke 24, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Bible. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name of all nations, in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. If you know that you are salt and light, if you know that you are a witness, when you read the Bible about people who are salt and light, when you read in the Bible that God is going to empower you to be a witness, you read it differently, and your expectations have been shaped to meet the expectations of the Father for you and for me. Secondly, it all comes together when we read the Bible with the humble. I'm using a phrase here from Craig Keener, reading the Bible with the humble. You know, there in Acts chapter 2, we read, or is it chapter 3, I think, we read of Peter and John encountering a man who was lame. And he's begging, he's asking for money, you know, just need some help. And so Peter says to the man, I don't have any money. I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have any money. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. These were humble people. Peter and John and the other disciples really just kind of started with practically nothing. Just very, very humble beginnings. When Peter and John are confronted by Jerusalem's highest level of leadership, they take note that these two men, in fact, all of these Jesus people, have not received the elite kind of education that you would expect from someone who was going to be a religious leader or try to influence others spiritually. They noted their humble circumstances and their humble beginnings. What I'm saying is that read through the Bible and you will discover that God is most often closest to the humble, those who have humbled themselves, the weak, the vulnerable, the poor. That's where you are going to find God. He is at work among the humble. Read God's word. Read the Bible with those of humble heart. Proverbs 3, verse 34 says, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. It means that when we go to the Bible, we go hungry. When we go to the Bible, we go hungry. We didn't fill ourselves up with a bunch of junk food, right? You know, we didn't fill up with a bunch of snacks. We go to the Bible with a hungry heart. We should come to his word with this kind of hunger. You know, you think of Jesus. Jesus's life intentionally reveals the humility and the humble life of a servant of God, where God reveals himself. Read the Bible, read the word with the humble. Jesus, you know, of course, his birth, humble circumstances. His parents were quite poor, born in a manger, a shed outside the local hotel. I'm just kidding by the hotel, but he's just staying in a manger. Very, very humble circumstances. Jesus grew up in poverty. Jesus was a refugee. Jesus lived in somebody else's house for a while. You know, very humble circumstances. Read the Bible with Jesus and read it with the humble. When Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He is telling us, come to the Father and engage with his word as the poor in spirit, as those who mourn, as those who are meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This isn't just a suggestion. This isn't just a, you know, if you want to, read God's word like this, with this group, with these people. This is you. This is me. The humble read the scripture, not just to reinforce what they already know. The humble read the scripture because they're just trying to pad their, Bible knowledge. You know, win the contest. I memorized more verses than last month, or her, or him. They engage with the Bible, and the humble read the scripture not to reinforce what they already know or the knowledge that they desire, but they read it with desperation. Reading God's word with the humble is reading the word of God with those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are food deprived, those who are in despair. I cannot go one more day. There was a part of the world, one place where they could not get copies of the Bible in their own language. Some friends contacted them and said from another country where they had access to the Bible and also had access to Bible in the language in that particular country. And they said, what can we do for you? What can we send? Can we send you food? One of the pastors said, we have learned to live on grass, but we cannot live without God's word. Send the Bible. Send the Bible. Read the Bible with the humble. And lastly, thirdly, read the Bible with hope. Read it with hope. You know, when they engaged the Bible, that part of Joel that we read, the prophet Joel, he spoke of last days. He talked about a time where time would shift, and that time would shift, and the beginning would, there would be a beginning that would lead us to completion and to fullness. Time shifted, Christ has come, and now the time that we live will lead us to completion. And he talked about that. And he said, these are the times that you in. These days will come to completion and fullness in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not circular. We don't just wake up to repeat. It's not the Matrix. You know, we just don't repeat the day over and over and over again. It's not Groundhog Day. Do it all over again. But these days are moving us forward to a day of completion, of wholeness, of shalom, of peace, of righteousness. And that day is in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And this word gave them hope. This word of God gave them hope. And it's in the Bible. They knew that the presence of the Spirit that was in them and the presence of the Spirit that was among them, you've seen it. You bear witness to it. You know the Spirit of God is in you. You see the Spirit of God in others. You see the miracles and the power and the love and the care of the body of Christ, the Spirit alive in us. This Spirit in us and among us is God's down payment. It's his guarantee that what he has begun, he will finish. The Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God in me is his guarantee. This is coming to an end. There is a day of promise, and there is a day of hope to be realized in Jesus Christ. They look for a time when suffering will end. They look for a time when all things are going to be restored. They looked for hope, and that hope was anchored in the return of Jesus Christ. Every now and then, when you pray, or when you are desperate, every now and then, when you open up the Bible, be the person who expects Jesus to return. Be the person whose hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. Reading in 1 Corinthians 15, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now is the time to press in to the Bible. Now is the time. You're desperate. You're down on your knees like me. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. If there's ever been a time where I didn't know, this would be it. I am so uncertain about the future. Now is the time then to press into the Bible, into God's word. Press in with the humble. Press in with the weak and press in with the desperate. Let's continue the story that God has begun. Let's you and I continue the story that God has begun in the Bible, where the humble are raised, where suffering comes to an end, and the presence of King Jesus is among us. Even so, Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's a living word. I thank you, God, that we can get a copy of it. We can get it on our phones. We can get it on our pads. We can get it on our computers. And we can engage with your word. We can experience your word today. Each one of us, word by word, sentence by sentence, we can know you and experience you and continue your story in us and in our community and among the nations now, today. Yeah, so Father, we pray, let hope rise in us. May we read your word differently today. Read it with hope, expectation. Read it with the humble, of course, and read it knowing that there's a calling on our lives, a calling on us to serve our generation and exalt Jesus Christ today and every day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.